So Einstein said, I don't believe God would play dice with the universe. Well, recently Stephen Hawking said, not only does God play dice with the universe, God throws the dice where you will not find it. What does that mean? What that means is that after a certain level you get to nature, the laws of nature become such that they do not allow you to understand them. And they become even more flexible. In fact, yesterday before I got on the flight here, I had Rupert Sheldrake on my radio show from New York, and he was saying, it's not a good idea to even call them laws of nature. They're habits of nature. They're memories of nature. And just like habits and memories can be capricious and flexible, so nature at a fundamental level can change its habits. And when nature changes its habits, what do we call it? We call it a miracle. Something that did not follow the laws of nature, as we understand them. But we'll get into that later. Okay? That's the third principle, uncertainty. The fourth principle, and I'll be done very shortly on these five principles. The fourth principle is quantum leaps of creativity. Now, first of all, what's a quantum leap? Quantum leap is when a subatomic particle moves from here to here without going through the space in between. Now, I don't know how many of you watch TV or how many of you watch science fiction, but if you watch that program, Star Trek, then when the captain says, beam me up, Scotty, and Scotty presses a button, and captain disappears here, he shows up in another galaxy without going from here to here. He's here, and he's there, and then he's nowhere in between. That's a quantum leap. Now what scientists are discovering is that nature periodically takes these quantum leaps of creativity. So you have a pattern of energy and information, and then you have a new pattern of energy and information, and there's no transition from this to, from here to here. It's a discontinuity. And this kind of creativity cannot be programmed into a computer, because computers are based on what are called algorithms. You know what an algorithm is, right? It's a mathematical argument that leads to a new mathematical argument that leads to a new mathematical theorem. So by the time, let's say, you know, if I have to explain to you Pythagoras' theorem, then I have to go from theorem 1 to theorem 2 to theorem 3, 4. But I can't jump from 4 to Pythagoras. You won't know what's happening. And yet when mathematicians derive mathematical principles, and this particular theorem is called Gödel's theorem. When mathematicians derive mathematical principles, they move in mathematical logic, but then they get stymied. They don't know what the next theorem is. Then they take some time off to do nothing, and then suddenly a theorem crops up in their consciousness, and it has nothing to do with the previous theorem. They say, where the heck did this come from? But to them, it sounds intuitively true. So they write it down, and now their logic can proceed. And somehow nature seems to conform to these principles, because nature follows mathematical principles. So nature's creativity is non-algorithmic. It's quantum. It cannot be programmed into a computer. It moves from one place to another place. And you know, when you create something new, you have this thrill. You say, ah, where did that come from? That idea has nothing to do with the previous idea. That's the fourth attribute of the discontinuity. And last attribute, and then I'm done with this difficult part. The fifth attribute is something called observer effect, described by a great scientist called John Wheeler, who's now 96 years old. He was a protege and actually a colleague of Albert Einstein, but he's still alive. He's the first one to have used the term black hole, which everyone knows what, you know, black hole is. He's one of the greatest scientists of this century. And about 45, 50 years ago, John Wheeler said, the universe would not exist unless there were conscious beings to look at it. The universe would not exist, and this is now called observer effect. So he said it 40 years ago, and because he's also another great scientist, he's the Nobel laureate, described black holes, so people didn't make fun of him, but they did not agree with him. Okay, but what John Wheeler said is something very profound, that unless a conscious being is looking at the universe, it remains a plus minus charge. Even that's a concept, isn't it? So something is going on, but we don't know what is going on, but as soon as the conscious being looks at it, it somehow takes that plus minus charge that's going on and off and converts it into color, form, taste, smell, and suddenly the whole universe shows up. And just like you cannot have an electrical signal unless there's a positive and a negative terminal both in one place, you cannot have a universe unless there's a creator and there's someone to watch the creation. There's no universe. Okay, now I'm done with what the scientists say. Now here's something that only a few scientists say, but let's assume these guys are right. Okay? Because these guys are really ahead of their times. A few scientists say that the discontinuity is consciousness itself. Okay? That the discontinuity, what we're talking about, is, and let's see why. Your consciousness is not a thing, right? It's the possibility waves that give rise to everything that you call reality. Perception, thoughts, cognition, everything. So consciousness is a field of possibilities. Number two, your consciousness, which somebody called the soul a little while ago, we'll see what part of the soul is consciousness. But your consciousness right now, non-locally orchestrating all the activity in your body. You're listening to me, you're digesting your breakfast, your immune cells are taking care of bacteria, and there are 100 trillion cells doing thousands of things, all correlating. What's doing that? Your consciousness is doing that. So your consciousness is non-locally correlating everything in your body and everything that's happening as your body integrates, non-locally connects with the cosmic body. Your consciousness is doing that. Your consciousness is at this moment and at all moments proliferating in uncertainty, because at the more you embrace uncertainty, which in bhakti traditions is called what? Surrender, right? Surrender. I surrender to the mystery. I surrender to the uncertainty. That's when it starts to take these quantum leaps of creativity. It starts to have all these wonderful leaps of creativity. Your consciousness is the source of your creativity, which is quantum. It cannot be programmed into a computer. And your consciousness is co-creating, right this moment, this whole universe, with that mystery that we call God. That God would remain unmanifest unless we all participated in the process of creation. So a number of scientists, and I said, I qualify this because a number of scientists doesn't mean all scientists who know this, understand this continuity, but the number of really good scientists, and you can, you know, name them, because there are at least a few hundred of them in the world, who say that the discontinuity is consciousness itself. And when you say, where is this consciousness, the best answer they give you is that that's the wrong question. Because as soon as you say where, you apply a location in space-time to something that doesn't occupy space-time, but that actually gives rise to space-time. Right? So it has no location in space, it has no existence in time. It exists outside of space-time. Which is actually a lot of the argument that's right now going on. Just yesterday or day before there was NPR did an interview with Richard Dawkins, who's this author of God Delusion, and with John Collins, who said God exists outside of space-time. Consciousness exists outside of space-time. So, your consciousness is a potential for space-time. Again, and if you read Bhagavad Gita, when Lord Krishna says, water cannot wet me, wind cannot dry me, weapons cannot shatter me, fire cannot burn me, because I'm ancient, I'm unborn, I exist outside of space-time. And that's what consciousness is. It exists outside of space-time. It is consciousness that conceives, governs, constructs, and then becomes space, time, energy, information, and physical matter. And that consciousness is in the discontinuity, which means it's between every on and every other on, in the off between the two ons. So now, just for 1 second, as you're listening to me, just turn your attention to who's listening. So as you're listening to me, become aware of who's listening. So, do you feel a presence? And if you do feel a presence, that's your soul. It's not your mind, which might be saying, I wonder what we're going to have for dinner, or I wish I'd gone to the bathroom before we started. There's a presence, there's a consciousness in which a thought comes and then it goes. There's a consciousness in which a thought comes and goes. There's a presence in which a perception of the world comes and it goes. There is a presence in which a molecule of the body comes and it goes. So when you were a baby, you had this presence there. Okay, when you were a teenager, different body, different mind, different emotions, but this presence was there. It's there now, it'll be there when you're old.